AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we think about moving on from the weekend's action and edge towards more European drama. Callum McGregor says it's too early to take too much notice of Hearts sitting top of the Scottish Premiership. Max Ahrens hopes his winner at Livingston can go some way to make up for the red card against Bruges. And the latest Scotland squad has been announced, including a potentially surprise return for Craig Gordon. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening you have Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL.
Yeah, we'll still have plenty of talking points from the weekend, especially sitting next to a set play coach here, wondering why they lost a late goal. We'll be asking him that all night. But, you know, it was an exciting weekend. Rangers getting that late winner. Russell Martin certainly needed that, but still not won over the Rangers fans. We look at the Scotland squad getting announced today, Gordon, for the double header, Greece and Belarus. The big question for me, you talk about Craig Gordon, I'm looking at another Hearts player. Lauren Shanklin, 7 goals out of 10, 2 assists. Great for him. We need people that can score goals. Wonder what was Stevie Clark thinking there. But then obviously Thursday night, big European night again for Celtic and Rangers.
I can't believe he just dropped stats 2 minutes into the show. I've never heard him do that before.
I'm all over it.
He's obviously been doing his homework today, which is worrying in equal measure. Marvin, come on, talk to us. Sunday, high drama.
Yeah, massive drama. Obviously, at the end, you think, you know, you're going to get a point. You see 8 minutes go up. And to be fair, there were a lot of stoppages, a lot of substitutions as well. And there was a VAR check. So, yeah, it's one of those things. And then, you know, you end up conceding a set play. I think it was in the 94th or 95th minute. One of the smallest players on the pitch. I know it wasn't the header, but the ball drops to him and he puts it in the back of the net. So, yeah, listen, it was gutting for the staff and the players, especially because they put an awful lot into it. But you know, the biggest thing coming away from that game for me was kind of the chance and hearing it firsthand, which was it was one of those things, Gordon. I think I've spoken about it before, and Russell Martin had said, you know, it fuels him and everything else. But sitting there, I'll be honest, on the opposition bench, no affiliation to Russell Martin or Rangers, it was uneasy for me to see somebody put in that position. It was probably a couple of minutes into the game, and the Rangers fans let him know under no uncertain terms they don't want him at the football club. And even when they scored the winner, you know, it continued then. So yeah, he's got to have really, really thick skin to deal with that, and hopefully for him he can turn it around.
Well, come on then, 0141-951-1025. We've got an eyewitness, more than that, to the game at Livingston at the weekend. So there was quite a lot of talking points to come out of that one that I don't think we fully got through last night. I know loads of you tried to get on and couldn't. So if you want to revisit that Rangers performance, result, the Russell Martin situation, which I just feel like we discuss every single night, it just is hanging over everyone currently. As Marvin says, being there in the stadium, that's quite a unique one. That feels new, even for us in this mad part of the footballing world, the reaction to a winning goal so late on. So give us your thoughts on all of that stuff, please. 0141-951-1025. That is the number that you need, as always. Get it in. Callum McGregor thinks it's a bit too early to worry about Hearts being top of the table. Let's look at that in a bit more detail tonight, because as we always do, and it's understandable, we maybe look at things a bit more through the Glasgow lens like we did last night. What about Hearts? What are you all seeing from Hearts? Hearts fans, of course, this is an invitation to you. What do you think your staying power does look like? We're very early, but do you think you've got what it takes to at least hang around and make life uncomfortable up there? And then to everyone else, to the Glasgow fans or anyone else, you've seen Hearts, you've had a look at the landscape. Any worries out there that they are here to spoil the party? Give us your thoughts. 0141-951-1025. Anything else left over from the weekend? And the Scotland squad, anytime it's announced, it's brilliant for debate, because what people do is they scroll through the entire squad, they pick the one guy that they don't like, and they look for someone that they do like that's been left out, and they cause a big argument over it. And that is what we live for. So let's do that. 0141-951-1025. What do you make of Craig Gordon being in? It's pretty much the same squad. It's a strange calendar this, because we're only a couple of weeks on from the last squad, so maybe it's not a surprise that there is that consistency. But if there is other people you think were overlooked, is it Lauren Shankland, is it Oliver Buck, someone else, you tell me. 0141 951 1025. We said Tuesday night generally your kind of last chance to get weekend thoughts off your chest. Anything that you've noticed, anything that jumped out now that you've probably watched all the games back a few times and analysed them?
Yeah, I was sitting all afternoon watching the games, very interested. Listen, the big discussion, sorry, just now will be Hearts, the form that they're in, Gordon, sitting there top of the league. Yeah, I've not heard Callum McGregor's interview, but I guess the sort of lines he'll go along. Look, it's brilliant. I think that Hearts up there, a bit of competition for Celtic just now. You would imagine, hopefully for Rangers fans, that they will start climbing the league. I think it's healthy for Scottish football. I like the fact that Hibs are having a good say. You look at St Mirren just now, sitting in third. We always seem to dismiss them in a sense that, oh well, they'll not be hanging around too long, but they're doing brilliantly. Motherwell playing great football, eventually got that first win. Dundee United slipped up at the weekend. Hibs are a good squad as well. I think we're in a good place in the league. It's very healthy, a lot of games to go. I don't want to get carried away yet, and I'm sure all the Hearts fans are the same. I don't want to get carried away. Do I think they can win the league? No, I don't. Do I think they can split the big two? That's a possibility just now for me.
Do you think they're in a better position than Aberdeen were in terms of squad depth?
100%. 100%. I think that two things. I think the manager knows the league inside out. Very experienced manager in this situation. I think they've got a guy, if they can keep him fit, now starting to score goals again, Shankland. We know the sort of player he is. He's been played in the right position for me. Plus the fact he's got the right players round about him that can create for him. Defensively, they look very solid as well. I think squad-wise, going forward, and I think the way things are at Tynecastle, they'll invest in January as well, make it stronger. So, look, they will be hanging about, no doubt about it. I don't think they'll leapfrog Celtic in the sense over a course and distance of a season, but they've got off to a great start.
Well, your colleagues called it. He's gone. End of September, didn't he?
Oh,
Mr. Keevans.
Yeah, Saturday. He's right off the top, Dale.
Said
with speedos on.
Said they'll win the Champions League next season.
Yeah. He's
the
got
World Club Cup the season after.
He's all over it.
He sat in that seat and said that Hearts will win the league.
Maybe they will, and then you won't be laughing.
No chance.
Listen, I will take Shug for a week away, and I'm sure
he'd be delighted.
As much red wine as he can drink if Hearts win that league.
Derek McInnes shrugged off the talk today, saying it's stupid. Was his word to draw conclusions after six games. And I'm interested in that because obviously as the Hearts manager, whoever he may be, happens to be Derek McInnes, in this situation, you would want to play it down and you would want to guard against it up to a point. But also, maybe he's just right. Maybe it is just stupid, six games.
Yeah, listen, it's very, very early to be calling it. And I think Derek's right in a sense of saying that I can't see it happening either. Listen, the players have got themselves into a fantastic position, and so is he, obviously, being the manager. But as I always say, you know, when you're winning games of football, the pressure starts to crank up and up and up. And then over the course and distance, it's always, you know, Celtic can arrange, they can deal with this. We saw with Aberdeen last season, absolutely fantastic. And then, you know, they almost they fall off a cliff after that. And then, you know, we know where they end up. And yes, they win the Scottish Cup. I just think, you know, Hearts will be delighted if they can finish in third place. I know, you know, Gordon's there talking about can they split Celtic and Rangers.
Do you know things in
mind? No, I just don't. I just think you get to the end of the season, it's going to be, you know, for me, Celtic in first place and Rangers will be in second. I just think the squads and the players and, you know, over the course of the whole season, their quality will always shine through. I know it's six games in. I know Rangers have had a real, real slow start in terms of, you know, where they should be in the league table. But I just think when you get to the end of the season, it will always be those two at the top.
You're sitting first-hand there witnessing on Sunday. Do you look at that Rangers squad and that team and think whether Russell Martin's a manager or not, or replace, they've got the quality to go on unbeaten runs?
Yeah. I look at that team and I say they're underperforming. There's no doubt about it. In terms of where they are in the league, I know they've obviously beat us with a last-minute goal and people say they should be going to Livingston and absolutely battering them. I just think they're low on confidence. I think it was a real hostile atmosphere for them because they took out three sides of the stadium. I just think when you look at the squad and the players that he does have, you know, when that team does click, you know, they'll be in second
no
place.
No disrespect, you told me about that, Aberdeen, about that 4 weeks ago.
Aberdeen will be...
yeah, Aberdeen, false position.
Aberdeen will be top six. Aberdeen will be top six.
Are you sure?
I think Livy's got a better chance than Aberdeen.
Just give him more room for that prediction.
Aberdeen will be top six. I'm telling you right now, they'll finish in the top six. Again, in terms of the players that they have got and the players they added towards the end of the window, when we went there and played them, again, it was a 0-0, and they're just a team for me.
Mate, everybody looks good against you. Yeah. You've got Hibs finishing third, day.
Falkirk didn't.
Right? I mean, they'll be below
to be
you.
To be fair, maybe there is something about those who are involved and are playing, because Andy Halliday sat there last night and is of the same mind.
He said, really, there you
he
go.
He says Aberdeen are way, way better than people think in the way the results
are. I shock you saying that.
Mm-hmm. There's six games in, though.
Mate, I totally
six
agree.
Games.
But as much as it's six games in, I look at Dundee United and better than what they were last year. Motherwell are far much better. Okay, I think the size of the squad and the quality, if they get injury suspensions, the football they're playing. St Mirren, we know how they do, right? You've got Hibs, you've got Hearts, you've got Celtic, you've got Rangers. Kilmarnock go to Tannadice. I don't think it's as easy as saying, well, they're better than what they're showing. That means they'll be in the top six. Okay. I think there's a lot of competition.
Anyway, we've just started arguing about all sorts there. I can't remember where we started. 01419511025. I think loosely, Hearts fans, Derek McInnes dismissing title talk as being stupid. How do you feel about that? Of course it is early, but do you think you've got the staying power? And then to everyone else, do you fear Hearts have got the staying power? Give us your thoughts. But anything else that's left over, hanging over us from the weekend, we'll do that as well. I think that's roughly where Alex in Paisley wants to take us. What are you thinking tonight, Alex?
Well, I cannot quite understand, but I see all these names coming up for the Rangers job. I know that Russell Martin's still in charge at this point in time, but I think eventually he will go. I cannot understand why the lad that's over at the Bodo Glimp is not getting considered for this job.
Well, you've said it yourself, though. Who's considering a job that doesn't exist?
Yeah, but you see all these names all coming up for a job that doesn't exist. All these, the Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard, all the other ones that's coming up. I cannot understand why he would not even be on the list of names that are potential candidates for this job.
I know what Alex is saying, but to be fair, some of those names, right now, Frank Lampard ain't becoming the Rangers manager. Right, hold on. Let's step back again. Russell Martin is still the Rangers manager, in case we're right. But once we get over that hurdle, if we ever do, Frank Lampard is not in the equation right now because of the job that he's got and the job that he's doing currently. Fine. Steven Gerrard's name is only getting mentioned by whoever it may be because he's the former Rangers manager and he had a level of success previously and he's out of a job. And anyone else, it's more of a personal wish list for people. So Alex can add the Bodo Glimt manager onto his personal wish list if he wants, but I mean, I think that's all it is. I don't think these lists are, if it is a list, or any, you know, coming out of Rangers board as names that they're looking at in case they pull the trigger.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit disrespectful in a slight way. I know that he's under severe pressure. I don't think he'll last either. I don't think he can turn that round. I really don't. But just now, he's a Rangers manager. People will come out with, right, who do we get next? And there'll be all names thrown in. Alex, you're correct. Alex quite entitled to throw his name in. I'm sure there'll be plenty, plenty more. But at this moment in time, you've got to respect that Russell Martin is the manager of Rangers Football Club.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like you said, you know, lists are going to come up because supporters and everybody else on social media who don't want Russell Martin there at this moment in time will be saying about this manager or that manager. I'm sure Rangers will have a list. They would have had a list when Russell Martin came in, which they've decided to pick him from. But also, you know, they'll be thinking if he comes in and does well, someone might cherry pick him. If he doesn't do well, you might have to replace him. So it's always be somebody's job behind the scenes to have a list of candidates who, you know, might be suitable for Rangers. And that would be people like, I imagine, Sean Dyche as well. Who was kind of, you know, dismissed by some when he was thinking with it the first time around before Russell Martin got it. So, yeah, listen, as Gordon said there, he's still in the job, so it's not one of the things, you know, you really want to be speaking about. But there will be a list behind the scenes, I'm sure.
See, what you've got to remember as well, Gordon, and I think we all forget this, as much as Rangers are a massive club, and if the manager's job did come available, obviously there's a lot of managers out there would love the job. But some managers might look at it and think, no, Scotland's not for me. You know, it's like players. Everybody goes, why did Celtic not go and sign X, Y, and Z? Why did Rangers not go out and get him from European clubs? They might just not fancy a Scottish game. They might not fancy the project. They might not fancy what they're hearing or what they're seeing.
Do you think any managers will be put off by what they're seeing now in terms of how Russell Martin's been treated after six league games?
No, because I think it's very unusual. I've never seen anything like this before, Marv. No, I don't. I think they would look at it and think, oh, hold on a minute here. But I think the problem was right at the beginning for Russell Martin. A lot of people didn't want him. And when you don't hit the ground running, and then you're at Rangers and you find yourself down 11th in the league and the European night against Bruges, and then Russell Martin's coming out of his interviews, then it just all went the wrong way.
So Alex, that is very much where you're at. You think this is a matter of time, and therefore your mind is already wondering to see what comes next.
Well, hypothetically, I mean, what do you guys think of the Bodo Glimt manager? He's a fantastic manager. He's built that team out of next to nothing through academy players. He's got them at the semi-finals of Europa League last year. He's now got them into the Champions League. And by the way, to qualify for that, they beat Sturm Graz 5-0 at home. So Sturm Graz are the next team that Rangers are going to meet. So it'll be interesting to see how that's going to go.
It's so difficult, really, I think, to have a genuinely sincere conversation about the next manager when Rangers... Yeah. There is no genuine sign of them needing one. But I do take Alex's point, because a lot of Rangers fans might feel like it's time. I've seen it said that the Bodo Glimt manager must have the worst agent in world football, because he's been linked with every job for the last few. He's done a sensational job and he's still there. He plays Spurs tonight, does he not, in the Champions League.
But that doesn't guarantee that he's going to come to Rangers and be the same success. Go on, have a look at a club, one of the biggest clubs in the world in England, Manchester United. They went through manager after manager after manager. They're getting the same sort of the Rangers are sort of going down there in a similar way, but in a small way. But you look at the manager they've brought in. He came in with a magnificent track record. Everybody was thinking, he is a guy, he produces young players, look at the job that he was doing. He comes in Manchester United and he's all over the place. It doesn't guarantee you what you've done before, coming in as a manager or a player into a club the size of Rangers, Scottish football, and you think, right, you're just going to continue your management career. You hope it does. Obviously, CV is brilliant just now. But once again, we go back to it. There's no point talking about it, because Rangers at this moment in time are not looking for a manager.
Marvin, just give us a little bit more of your insight, having been there. Can what you witnessed from the opposition dugout on Sunday, can that be recovered?
I think it would take a long time to recover it. You know, as I said, it was difficult to actually be there and hear, you know, Russell Martin and the chants that were aimed at him and a board member as well, because, you know, you think stuff, the game's just started and it happens, they score the winning goal, the players are absolutely delighted, the fans cheer for maybe 10 or 15 seconds, and then again the chants turn to Russell.
Sorry to correct you, Andy Halliday. Andy Halliday's counted this.
Oh, has he?
27 seconds.
Okay, Andy's... I'll go with Andy, 27 seconds then, and then all of a sudden, you know, they start to chant about him again, and it's one of those things, because obviously their bench jump up, they've just scored a really, really late goal, they're relieved, they're absolutely delighted, you know, thinking, right, this is 3 points for us now, we're winning the game with only a couple of minutes to go, and then all of a sudden the chants start, and then it's almost like they reverse back into the dugout. So it can be recoverable, because he's been given time at this moment in time, Gordon, but I just don't know, you know, if those fans will ever forgive him. I just think they're in a position now with some of them that they just don't want Russell Martin at the football club. And as I said, he's got to have really, really thick skin to deal with that. I think there was, you know, 6,000 or 7,000.
Did
Rangers
they come
fans
into the office after the game?
No, that doesn't really happen anymore.
Does it not?
No. There's a bit of an argument on the side as well.
Were you involved?
Yeah, but I didn't. You got to say in technical error, basically, and one of their staff members didn't do so. So that was a bit annoying. But yeah, listen, to answer your question, I think it will take...
You're so sensitive as well. You take all that stuff really seriously.
Yeah, it just annoys me. And to be fair, it was about the penalty incident, and that's what they were saying to the full official. I'll look again. And yeah, I was just like, obviously, VAR are going to check it anyway, so just get back in technical error.
Oh, were you the Rory McIlroy of Livingston?
Yeah, that's
you giving
sort
it
of language.
For?
You tunnel. Get in the tunnel right now.
We know what came before. Alex, listen, I do appreciate the suggestion, but we clearly live in odd times when we're having this. Yeah. But I do appreciate it for you taking the time. And you never know, maybe we do have a vacancy at some point to look at. So thank you very much to Alex on 01419511025. Good time to join in. Get in touch and we'll get you on next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. Why not give us a call? Do it right now if you can. 0141-951-1025. How do you assess the chances of Hearts staying up the top, or near the top, or round about the top? You decide what lens you want to view it from, and that goes out to everyone really, because Hearts fans obviously have got that interest, and then to fans particularly in Glasgow, you might be worried that they can stay there, or not so worried. But let us know either way. 0141-951-1025. Derek McInnes brushed it off today, describing title talk as stupid. I wonder if you would go as far as that. Let's hear from Callum McGregor on that front. He says it's too early to take notice of the table. He says any team can have a good start, but knows the key to winning is consistency.
No, we're 6 games in. Maybe at 36 games you start looking at the table, but not only 6 games in. It's such a long season. There's so much football to be played. We're thinking about performance. We're trying to get up to speed. And like I say, when I look at the performance and the amount of big chances we created, then it's hard to be disappointed with that. Although we didn't win the game, I'm sure if we play like that, then we will amass enough points to be where we want to be. But we're 6 games in, so if you win all your games, then you're top of the league. And like I said, it's in the first round of fixtures, so anyone can get off to a good start. Aberdeen did it last year. So if you win the games that are in front of you, then you collect enough points. So our objective over 38 games is to finish top of the league. So we can judge it when that happens.
It's hard to argue with any of this logic, whether it comes from Callum McGregor, whether it comes from Derek McInnes. It is very sensible, but I also think people are allowed to not be sensible and have predictions and have hopes and aspirations and maybe look at the way things have been, and you've got no choice but to try and project forward and put your own opinion on what might happen.
It's encouraging if you're involved with Hearts. Yeah, exactly. And that's what's needed in this league. He's right. 6 games in, we're looking and thinking, oh, Hearts, can they, you know, win the league? Just now, I would probably say no. But there's a long, long way to go. After that, table will probably change week in, week out. Because I look at most of the teams and I think everyone can beat each other, really. And I'm including Celtic in this as well, because you look at Hibs going there and making it very difficult. I know it was a good performance from Celtic the weekend, but their form hasn't been great since the start of the season. A few nil-nils in there as well, not firing in all cylinders. So I would say that the league's very, very open, but if I was putting my last 10 pence on, I'm still thinking Celtic are going to be firm favourites to go and win it.
Yeah, that's a serial winner speaking there as well. There's a real calmness to what he's saying in terms of, like, come on, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it is 6 games. He understands. He's been there course and distance on so many occasions. The rest of the squad have been there, or majority of the squad have been there. And they won't be panicking at all. You know, referenced Aberdeen there, and last season they were speaking about them. Can they do it? Will they win the league? Listen, Celtic know that at some point they always go into overdrive, and everyone's speaking about them now, and, you know, they should have beat Hibs. There's no doubt about it. You know, I think they hit the woodwork 3 times, missed some really, really big chances. So they're not going to panic about it. As Callum said, they, you know, they're trying to get themselves up to speed. The most important thing is performance, and they know if they keep that level of performance over the course of the season, they'll go on to win it.
Let's bring in John, who's actually a Motherwell fan, who's called us in tonight, which is always nice. John, take it away. What are you thinking?
Hi there. Hi, panel. I just spoke to your producer. I wasn't sure if this is one of the calls you wanted, but it was basically...
Oh, believe me, John.
Know.
It's one of the calls I want. Don't know about anything else, but take it away.
I've not had a season ticket since Graham Alexander. Was in charge, actually. That's the last time I was at a Motherwell game, and I became kind of one of the fans that I never wanted to become was I would rather watch football on TV and be entertained. But the fact now we've got a manager that's actually trying to play football and something to entertain fans. Me and my two wee boys, I've said I'm going to start taking them back just because it's interesting. Again, I've always said to like, my workmates and my friends, I kind of wanted like, an Ange Postecoglou type manager. I wanted something that was going to go and have a go at Old Firm or go and have a go at other teams and see if you could beat 6-0 with Rangers or Celtic. At least we had a go. I used to hate going to Firth Park and it would be 10 men behind the ball hoping we could steal a 1-0 win or a draw. And I know some fans would rather have that than the fact that we get a result, but I found it torture just playing long ball all the time. And as I say, I just wanted to be entertained. So I said to my wee boys now, that's us, we're going to get back as long as this manager going to stay there playing attractive football. That's kind of what I'm wanting.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, right? If you, I'll share my personal thoughts for a second, just because right. John raises it. I'm a little bit like John, but also differ slightly. I've never really cared about Motherwell's style. It's just it's just not why I went. They could, you know, play whatever style, and it wouldn't really make me feel any differently. It wouldn't. However, I didn't know how much I cared until you then see what was out there. If that makes sense, and what's possible. Yep. So actually, then I get that bit of what John's saying. Like, the best way to describe how I feel about it, and maybe John feels the same, see if Mother will play this way, but still finish 8th or 9th, then great, because why not? Why not do that? Rather than, you know, this is not about, because I know what'll happen, people outside will maybe look down their nose, because you know what, they've still got a small budget and all that, and maybe it does catch up, and maybe you don't go and have an amazing season, and people say, oh yeah, you know, so much for your kind of fancy football, but that's actually not the point. It's just really enjoyable, and if it goes somewhere, great. And if it still ends up at, you know, being in that kind of middle band of clubs battling out, then so be it, because you would be there anyway.
Yeah,
you're not playing a different way.
I don't think John's alone here. I think every Motherwell fan would echo those thoughts. I really do. I think he's been a breath of fresh air. I was a bit concerned in the Premier Sports Cup early on, and you know, Clyde and Stenhouse Muir, and I'm thinking, oof, it's okay coming in with those great ideas, but you need to get results first and foremost. You're a new manager. But he stuck by his principles, and he's been absolutely brilliant, Gordon. And, you know, to be in the semi-final of a cup, a great opportunity to get to the final against a difficult game against St Mirren, you've got to say. And then he goes to Aberdeen, he wins that game, the cup, plays Aberdeen, a pressure game for Aberdeen at Fir Park at the weekend, wins that, okay, it was late and a little bit of help from the goalkeeper, but his style of football is great. And you listen to Andy Halliday on this programme, who's working under him, and he appreciates what he's putting in and how he's developed that team into a footballing team and given a lot of players responsibility, and that's what it's about. And see, he's been that, rewarded for
and
it.
And see on that just quickly, right, because we have a bit of fun and say that Andy's had more minutes on Beat the Pundit this season than he's had on the pitch. But to be semi-serious about it for a second, what a testament to the job that the manager's doing, that Andy has gone from Players Player of the Year last season
to
genuinely, I think he's played about 4 minutes this season. And I mean, I'm sure he's annoyed deep down, but he's not bitter, you know what I mean? Like that just shows how transformative it must have been and what that must be like to be a part of it.
Yeah, 100%, because, you know, as a player, when you're not playing, especially on the back of the season that Andy had, it'd be well within his rights to be frustrated with it. But I think you hit the nail on the head there, Gordon. You know, when the team is playing in the style that they are playing, I think it's enjoyable just to be around. I think, you know, Andy's probably thinking, when I do get my chance, because it will happen over the course of the season, injury, suspension, loss of form, he'll get in there, probably think, that suits me as well, and I'll be able to go in there and play a part in it. So, yeah, you know, I watched the Motherwell game against Hearts before we played against Hearts, and they were absolutely fantastic. And like you said, the rotations and, you know, players taking the ball under pressure, and they're all on the same wavelength. And at times they do lose the ball, but they work hard to then get it back. So, yeah, listen, I think the manager's done a really, really good job. Brian Rice was actually at a game with him the other day, and he said it was so refreshing to speak to him and hear his ideas and how he views Scottish football. So I said, I don't think it's only Motherwell fans that are enjoying, you know, the style of play. I think a lot of people in Scottish football
are. It's incredible that Andy's walking into the office and saying, Gaffer, can you turn around to have a chat with me? That's all he sees him, back his head.
John, I think one of the real sort of my annoyances about the way we consume and talk about modern football is we always have to say this is the best since blah and it's the worst since blah, and yet you do find yourself, don't you, watching Motherwell and thinking, is this the best style you've seen ever, or in, you know, however many years? Do you agree with that? What would your time frame look like? Is that the way you sort of see things?
100%. I mean, you know, as you know, right, being a Motherwell fan, it's like a roller coaster sometimes. There's massive highs and then it's massive lows. I'll still stink back to going to Hampden when I'm sure the Rangers ended up beating us. Stevie Thompson came on at half time and changed the game, but I still remember the high at half time. I think we're going to beat Rangers in a semi final here and get to a final, and then you've got an ultimate low at the bottom. So I'm kind of used to that. I'm not going and expecting to see Real Madrid or Liverpool, but as I tried to say with Ange Postecoglou, the fact that they played Celtic and he had a go, that's, I was so jealous at the time, thinking that's what I just wanted for a manager, just go and have a go and attack. And it's funny now when I speak to Rangers fans and stuff that I work with, they're trying to say, well, your manager's actually doing what our manager's talking about. And how many times have you seen a manager, they talk a great game, but it never really seems to come out on a park, whereas when I watched the Motherwell pre-season on, I think it was YouTube, wasn't it? It was MFC 20. And it was hard to judge, although it was one of the very first games. But I'm just so glad that he's actually a manager that's making things happen rather than just talking about it.
I sat in the nice wee balcony in Portugal and watched that game on my iPad and thought, this has ruined my holiday. This is going to be a bad, bad season ahead. Then I came home and the next day I went to Clyde in the League Cup and I thought, wow, it's even worse than I thought. When the goalie got lobbed 15 minutes into the new season because he was so far out his goal. So the speed of it. Look, I think where you've got to maybe draw the link, John doesn't have to if he doesn't want to. I don't know this notion about, you know, even if you do get hammered, like, you know, that's okay, because that's fine saying that, but it is results driven at the end of the day. So there's probably that sweet spot to find. But also don't think that the manager's that naive with that either. They do actually, they will go along if they have to. People, you always do this, we fall into camp of thinking that they're just going to pass along the 6-yard box, which they do, but similarly, you see the goalkeeper going along at times as well.
Yeah, listen, if Motherwell were getting beat 4 and 5-0 every week playing this style of football, you would only get away with that for so long, and the fans would be right on your back, no doubt about that. You're right, Gordon, you've got to believe your players can mix it up, take the responsibility when it's needed, and then make sure that if you have to put it long and turn teams, because that's tactics as well, that's part of the game. All great teams do that. Listen, I've watched Man City under Pep Guardiola. I've seen them sometimes going long. You know what I mean? Everybody thinks, oh, they never play the ball long. They always play out for the back. It's just how you mix it up. The guy's got a nice blender now. He's got a nice squad there. Everybody's buying into his theory. The fans, the players, everybody, and it's working brilliantly just now for them.
Big question will be, John, you know, what can it lead to? Can it lead to a really successful league finish? Or is there still that worry about the so-called bigger clubs?
You've got to be realistic. Anything, if we get top six, right, you take that all day long with Motherwell, and even get to a semi-final, I'd probably say that's deemed as a success. But I think you were always going to take St Mirren if you were going to pick maybe Rangers, right, at this moment in time. You were always going to take St Mirren, and I think that's easily a game we can win. It's probably a game we can lose, right? But it's something, I think, getting to a final, if we could get top six, which I think we're more than capable of, from what I'm seeing at the moment anyway, that's how I would view it a success. And then it's just trying to keep a hold of this manager, because I don't think we in Scotland are going to be alone in
Well, there is that possibility. Plenty of time to look ahead to the semi-finals when they come around, Gordon. But it's worth acknowledging that St Mirren might win that, because they're very good at what they do, and there is no right and wrong answer. And Stephen Robinson has been outstanding, really, at Motherwell and then St Mirren. So I wouldn't want people on the outside to think that everyone associated with Motherwell thinks that the swashbuckling style can't be stopped. That's missing the point. It's just about trying to give fans like John something to buy into.
Yeah, and the fans are coming back, and they're coming back because they're happy to go and pay their money. And as much as every manager will tell you, this isn't an entertainment business, this is about getting results, or my job's on the line. It's a part of entertainment, because you've got to go and play good football, you've got to try and get your results, you've got to get the fans back, give them value for money. St Mirren are brilliant at what they do. Motherwell are doing brilliant. That's why they're third and fourth just now. I know we're not talking about semi-final. I think semi-final will be a cracker, do you
but
know?
It should go without saying, Marvin, but I do sometimes think it gets lost in this debate because people always want to boil things down to, you know, one or the other. He's not doing it purely to entertain. He's doing it because he thinks it's the best way of getting results.
Yeah,
you know, like that's, it's not like it's just for the sake of it.
He believes in the style, doesn't he? And that's the thing. He's probably looking over the course of the season. If we can keep possession of the ball, and it sounds stupid, then the opposition can't really hurt us. And like you guys are saying, it's not just playing along the back for the sake of doing it. You know, there's a purpose to it. They are trying to play forward. They are trying to almost suck you in and play through the lines. And he's getting the most out of the players as well that were already there and the ones he's brought in. What was at St. Johnstone last season didn't look half the player that he looks this season. So, yeah, there's a real, real good balance to it. But he's not just doing it so people are like, oh, it's really pleasing on the eye. He believes he can get results that way, and they've started the season really well.
Thanks for bringing it up, John. Much appreciated. Let me tell you about this before we go further. Clyde One. Enter now to be in with the chance of being our next big winner of £560,000. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025, text or £10 plus your standard network rate, or you can get 7 entries by texting YES to 61025. Those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340 and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this rail network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. Somebody will win the lot, so it might as well be you. You just answer your phone and the £560,000 would be yours, paid straight into your bank account right after the call. Good luck. Text YES to 61025.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Steve Cowan.
Umbrella companies, right, apparently made up that it's bad luck to open an umbrella in the house. When do we start thinking about Hearts going pretty close this season? Like
April the 24th. A job-saving goal if ever you saw one.
But the fans immediately started chanting for Russell Martin to get sacked.
The more you got, they get smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
But I've been inside a pyramid.
There it is, the TripAdvisor review of Steve Cowan.
Check it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel or get it where you get your podcasts now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Let's go straight back to the phones where Frank is waiting on us. How are you, Frank?
I'm fine, Gordon. Thank you for taking the call.
It is our pleasure.
Gordon and Marvin.
What are you thinking? Mate.
I never thought these words would cross my lips, to be honest, but the two teams I've enjoyed watching and I would go out my road to watch this season are Paris Saint-Germain and Motherwell.
Oh, Frank, you might be my favourite caller of all
man,
time.
This is a setup.
Getting this clipped up.
No, it's not a setup, Marvin. And the reason I say it's not a setup, and I have to be quite, well, just bold and maybe a wee bit kind of forthright. There's no courage in Scottish football. I've not seen any courage that I've seen for the likes of Motherwell, apart from Ange Postecoglou, that I'm watching now. The man plays with, he goes for it, his team go for it, they know where the goal is, that's where you're going, no back the way square, that's where we're going. It's called, and you mentioned the word, Gordon, earlier, Gordon Dale, entertainment. Football is primarily an entertainment. It's not a, for entertainment's not a kind of, it'd be nice, but it is an entertainment. And the greatest teams, why football is loved for decades and teams are revered for decades, isn't because they win countless Champions League. The ones that are remembered are the ones that play football with bravery, with courage, and the managers who stick to that way of playing. And my own beloved Celtic, we won the European Cup in 67. And as apart from winning the European Cup and everyone with it, players all within 30 miles, blah, blah, blah. The most memorable thing about the Lisbon Lions, and Jock Steen echoed it, is how we won the European Cup. The way we played, and the way we played that season with complete bravery, complete attacking, that's what football's about. And for I watched Paris Saint-Germain, they play, and I'm not they play the way Ange Postecoglou played. Okay, they've got better quality players, so they can produce it even better. So Postecoglou, Paris Saint-Germain, Motherwell.
What a trio.
A couple of English teams that I've been watching the last few years who play football with that courage as well. I haven't watched much English football this season. Pardon me. But the point I'm making is you can tell a team who are wanting to entertain. And Marvin, there's no reason why your Livingston team can't do the same.
Oh, yes, they are. He's sitting next to me.
Well, there is.
It's the biggest reason you'll know.
The biggest problem, Motherwell, I think, I'm sorry for hogging this, but I think the biggest problem could come because they play with such intensity and such constant movement. That's why, that's what creates this, the constant movement, the constant desire to attack. That, you need a big squad for that because that will take its toll physically on players. And my worry for Motherwell is that as the season progresses, they might fall foul. I hope not. I hope it continues for them. But it might fall foul of those kind of problems.
Yeah, there's loads of potential pitfalls. You know, like, I've even seen it said that once you play teams more often, then they'll be a bit more familiar with what it is you're doing and maybe they can combat it. Who knows? Is this style of play as easy in December and January when the pitches are bumpy? You know, there's all sorts of factors. The beauty of this is that's why we love the game. It's really just your personal feelings because Frank's really leaning into the entertainment. And as much as and he's a Celtic fan, by the way, as much as I'm praising Motherwell, see if Motherwell were really functional, really direct, booted the ball up the pitch and finished third this season, I would absolutely love that. You know, so there's just a balance to be struck.
I think the word balance is 100%, Gordon, because football's expensive now, as we all know. And I've been there many a times. You're sitting watching a game and you're thinking, can't wait till 65 minutes in the clock till I leave. I've got to say. And you've not enjoyed it. Look, it's about results. It's about making sure you don't get relegated in the Premier League. Go up that table, have a successful season, get the 3 points on the board. But the icing on the cake, if you can walk away from a game and think, I really enjoyed that today. I thought the style of football we played was great. Great chances, end-to-end football. And I would know I was having a joke there and a laugh there with Marv, but to be fair, even Livingston...
Well, you're playing differently now, aren't you?
Yeah,
from
completely.
The last spell in the Premiership.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say there. Obviously, it's not working. he'll be back to a long ball next week. But I think all teams now have got a wee bit of responsibility, but there's a lot of pressure on clubs that they want to stay in that Premier League.
Frank, if I could use your good nature here and ask you about your own team, what do you think about Celtic at the moment? Obviously, the debate, if you like, at the moment is, can Hearts stay there? Is that a worry to Celtic? Is it too early for that stuff?
No, too early. It's 6 games. Come on. I mean, seriously. I'm no dismissing Hearts. Fair play to them. They've done well to do what they've done. It'll tell in 26 or 36 games. That's when you start to take them serious. I don't mean you dismiss them. But the important point is my team. I don't know if you were asking me, but you asked me about my team.
Or yeah,
you asked about Hearts. No, I'm disappointed in my team. I'm disappointed in that lack of bravery in our play in the last 2 seasons. And it's no coincidence that since Ange left, that's not to say we've not had great games. Some great passages of play within games, and we've destroyed teams at times with some wonderful play, but it's not consistent, it's not constant, it's not intense enough, it's not constantly in the move, too many squared back passes. That's the problem. Players are only working as hard in this Celtic team. They might think they are, but they're not when you watch them. They're not constantly in the move. And that's what we lack at the moment. And until we get that absolute constant movement, put all the players, the midfielders demanding it, the forwards demanding it, always looking for the ball, making themselves available. Until that comes back, I've got a funny feeling I'm going to enjoy Motherwell more than I'm going to watch my own team.
Oh, Frank, Gordondale will take you along with his season ticket. I like
you. You can come and shout with me, Frank.
Frank's the best caller we've ever had. There you go. Since we're throwing out big.
Yeah, you can come and shout with me. Statements. I've got another recliner in the house.
Motherwell and PSG.
Honestly.
Anyway, let's play this, shall we? Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, it's Beat the Pundit time. Your form's dreadful, isn't it?
What a game on Thursday, you must have.
You lost it, didn't you?
Oh, six each. End to end.
Motherwell
I'll tell you what, Frank would have been in here watching that. That was entertaining. But
you lost ultimately, yeah?
I admit a tie break, remember? I lost six each. And then I lost my tie break.
Oh, of course you did, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Made a real move.
That was a great game, by the way. I lost that.
You've got the most out of form pundit we have in Gordon DL.
Oh, Sid.
I mean, he's not played in a while.
No wonder.
And the, wait for this, top of the leaderboard,
I'm
Marvin
under
Bartley.
The weather, though. Ever since coming around, you two, I've not felt great.
Last thing you needed was to have a deeper voice tonight in the show. And somehow he's managed it.
Like Lee Marvin, housewives are loving it.
Right, anyway, Beat the Pundit's coming up. Give us a call before 7 if you want to play.
For football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here alongside Marvin Bartley, and they're both waiting for you to get in touch. I like nights like this. It's been a bit fluid, shall we say, on the phones. We had a bit of chat about Russell Martin, obviously, because that's just the staple at the moment. We're trying to get your feelings on whether it is indeed far too early to be worrying about Hearts being at the top of the table, if you're not a Hearts fan, or whether you're excited about it. If you are a Hearts fan, give us all your thoughts on their staying power either way. Honestly, best caller ever. With the guy on saying the only two teams he would watch at the moment are PSG and Motherwell. So there we go. Things you never thought you would hear on this show. And there was a Scotland squad announced today. It is one of the easiest topics to argue about because everybody has got somebody that they don't think should have been included and somebody that they do think should have been included who's been left out. So give us a call. If there's anything else that you want to add, tonight's the perfect night to do it. 0141 951 1025. Let's play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. I'd need to get someone to crunch the numbers for me, but since we're on the discussion about is it too early to draw conclusions from the season, I think this is one of the most successful seasons we've had for the listeners.
Is it?
Largely down to you and Simon Donnelly.
I'm not bad.
The whole, because I mean, obviously this should, in theory, you guys are meant to live and breathe this stuff. It should be stacked a bit in your favour, but at the moment we're averaging pretty much one listener victory for every two pundit victories. I think that's pretty good.
Okay, right.
You know, it's almost half the week, essentially.
It's the tiebreakers that are killing me.
Well, just don't draw the game then.
No, but it's an entertainment business.
Oh, you're doing it deliberately.
You know what, right. I mean, people tune in to listen to me on a Tuesday and Beat the Pundit on a Thursday.
You're right.
Do you get it tight when you get into Livingston for Beat the... Oh, you're going to tell me that you've won every game this week,
but no,
generally.
Now, all they care about is what's the one that happens at 7:30?
The teaser.
That's all they care
because
about.
Because I said last night, when I met you at Livingston last week. When as soon as I arrived, Brian Rice appeared to tell me how he enjoyed Andy Halliday's defeat the previous night.
He listens to it every night,
and he was like repeating back some of the questions that were got wrong.
He'll be in the car now because he'll be heading to a game, and like he'll do this bit, and then he'll get out of the car and do whatever game it is. Every night he is listening at 7:00.
He told me he was outraged because there was a time previously where I offered someone a true or false and they passed.
Yeah, that gets him so angry.
Really stuck with
him. Do you know what? Should they get Ricey on in a Monday against the Head or the Wig?
Nah, he couldn't beat them. He needs to come on like Simon Donnelly night or me and you.
Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have every confidence in Brian. Yeah, okay. I think
we should arrange that.
Okay, anyway, Nathan is on tonight. How are you, Nathan?
I'm doing fine, yeah.
Good. Is this your first time on Beat the Pundit?
I'll say yes, but my brother was on once and he bet Charlie McGrew, so no pressure on me.
I mean, there's harder pundits out there, you could say, but that's trying to keep the family reputation intact.
Doesn't sound very confident, if I'm honest.
No, I think he's lulling you into a false sense of security.
You sound nervous, Nathan. Wait till the clock starts as well. It gets even worse, mate.
Don't listen to him, Nathan. He's absolutely at it. I'm going to toss the coin anyway. The blue side will be Marvin Bartley. The red side will be Gordon DL. Are you ready? Let's do it.
That is a good flick.
Good toss, you mean. It's blue. Yeah. Marvin Bartley up against Nathan.
Good luck, Nathan.
Denny.
Come on, Nathan.
The answer just passed, mate.
Knock him off his perch.
See, he's sounding more confident now. I like that. Okay, yeah. Marvin's going to listen to some music so he can't hear the answers. Obviously, that would defeat the purpose. Nathan, 30 seconds. You are allowed to pass if you want. Just answer as many as you can, okay?
Yep.
Good man. Your 30 seconds starts now. Max Aarons is on loan to Rangers from which English club?
Bournemouth.
Who's Celtic's top league scorer this season?
Nyland.
Who's the only player in the Scotland squad currently playing in Croatia?
Pass.
Name either team in Scottish Championship action tonight.
Ayo.
Does Lauren Shankland have more appearances for St Mirren or Aberdeen?
Aberdeen.
Name any of the four teams that would take part in an Angus derby.
Ross County.
Which Celtic manager took charge between Wim Jansen and John Barnes?
John Strachan.
Okay, let's bring back Marvin. Can you hear us? You ready?
What was that first song? We got this city. I enjoyed that.
About this city on
sausage rolls.
Rock and roll.
You had time for two songs there.
Yeah,
the change.
Got,
right,
back, okay. Yeah.
Got you. Right, you ready?
Yeah.
Feeling a bit under the weather?
Yeah, feel great.
Don't let the pressure get to you. Yeah. Your time starts now. Max Aarons is on loan to Rangers from which English club?
Bournemouth.
Who's Celtic's top league scorer this season?
Negrin.
Who's the only player in the Scotland squad who currently plays in Croatia?
Pass.
Name either team in Scottish Championship action tonight.
Queen's Park.
Does Lauren Shankland have more appearances for St Mirren or Aberdeen?
St Mirren.
Name any of the four teams that would take part in an Angus derby.
Arbroath.
Which Celtic manager took charge between Wim Jansen and John Barnes? Oh, he's no chance.
Martin O'Neill.
Hopeless.
It was 2002.
Oh, all right, buddy.
You know what
he
I
doesn't
mean?
Know anything before
exactly 2016, 2015. Yeah, no, 2015.
I was good.
Nathan, what do you think?
You were, I were.
Not from their confidence, but
okay. I tell you what, it was a blistering start from Nathan. I really enjoyed his work. He went straight in. Bournemouth for Max Aarons, knew it straight away. Negrin, top scorer,
I wouldn't have got that.
Knew it straight away.
I'd have been
so flying. But Marvin's matching him at the moment, so it's 2-2. The only Scotland player who plays in Croatia?
No idea.
Right, now that you've got a bit of time, though, process of elimination. No? Under 30 seconds, it's hard, but you know who it isn't, so no.
Where's McKenna?
Nothing at all. There you go. Scott McKenna. Scott McKenna. Yes? Okay, good.
Yeah,
Dinamo Zagreb. None of you got it. The team's playing in the Championship tonight. High-flying, entertaining Maryhill Mourinho's Partick Thistle up against Queen's Park. So Marvin got it, I'm afraid. Nathan, he goes in front.
Nathan.
This could be crucial because it's a 50-50 and you both went for the different answer. So has Lauren Shankland played more
Aberdeen
for St Mirren or Aberdeen? Nathan
Aberdeen.
Said Aberdeen. Marvin said St Mirren.
And it is St Mirren.
It is St Mirren. By quite a distance.
Yeah, you took a balls off it.
He played over 50 times for St Mirren and only 17 for Aberdeen.
I'm
afraid he's 4-2 ahead, Nathan. And Nathan, this, I'm going to hold this against you. A native Scotsman like yourself, this guy doesn't have a clue about the geography of this country, and he managed to dig out Forfar, Brechin, Arbroath or Montrose, not Ross County, I'm afraid. And by that point, I think the pressure had got to you, Nathan, because even as a Celtic fan, you couldn't remember Joe Venglos was the answer.
I feel sorry for Nathan a bit, because that Arbroath one I knew, because one of our players is going unknown there. So we were looking it up.
I'll
on
take
the,
that off you.
No, what do you mean? I've
still
won anyway.
Still won anyway, but I'll take it off you.
So
Nathan. Hardlines.
In my defence, I was born in 2006, so.
Oh, that is a defence.
Where are you?
Yeah. You got a sore throat?
Nathan,
you got the same illness as me.
I, of all people, Nathan, wouldn't judge people for how they sound compared to their age. Because the first 6 years I did this job, the number of people said, you sound much older than you look, and all that sort of stuff, which is fine.
I thought Nathan was about 60.
Nathan, I must admit, there is not a chance I had you down as being 19. Absolutely.
No way. Nathan's kidding on.
Seriously, Nathan.
Seriously, I'm in my car now.
You better get off the fags.
Right, you got to send us a selfie to the show so we know it. Yeah, he's not making this up.
What month in 2006?
February.
Right. So,
what I mean, if you'd said like July or
no,
what?
I was going to try and place it to like a football event. So, remember the Zidane headbutt?
Yeah,
Nathan
yeah.
was like 4 months old. That took place. How is that possible? What are we dealing with here?
Oh man!
Seriously?
Oh, Nathan,
that's scandalous.
Yeah.
Nathan.
Can't wait till his voice breaks.
He just...
Oh, come on, let Alex Jones.
Oh, bro.
That's incredible. Anyway, Nathan, talk to me about your team. What are you thinking about Celtic at the moment?
I mean, I feel we've been better, especially since last year, but there's still, especially on Saturday, even though we didn't score, I still thought it was a lot better than we've been in the last couple of weeks in comparison to...
Try
that on that Rangers game as well.
Yeah, but funny one at the weekend, because we know the lay of the land here. If Celtic drop points at home against the backdrop of protests, transfer windows, it's going to be met with a wave of negativity, which is fine. There's nothing against that.
Yeah.
But also sometimes that kind of 90 minute eye test, I don't think it really was bad, was it? And therefore, you probably have to give it time to find out, is that an outlier, or do you package it with Almaty and Almaty again and Rangers as being a real sort of failure of an attacking performance?
Yeah, I think the performance is actually good. You know, like you said, they missed some really, really big chances, and he actually should have scored when he hit the bar in the first half. And listen, if Celtic would have came off that pitch and won the game 3-0, I don't think there have been any complaints from anyone associated with Hibs. It was just one of those games, Nathan, where they just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. But some of the football is really, really good. We know Hibs is a team, and they've not started this season greatly, but they're awkward to play against. They're really good on the counter-attack. And, you know, Celtic were in full control, just missing that vital goal. And listen, if it came in the first half, as I said, I think they'd have gone on to win the game comfortably. But they just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. And the Hibs goalkeeper had a really, really good game as well. He's named their man of the match. So it just shows you, you know, where the game kind of went or how it went.
Yeah, I agree with Marv. Watching the game, you've got to say that on another day, Celtic probably ran out comfortable winners. All credit to Hibs. Went with a game plan, took their point down there, mate. Quite happy with it.
Obsessed with motorways, honestly.
Yeah.
You said one at the weekend that I actually think you got wrong. No, it really annoyed
77,
me.
77, Kilmarnock.
No, it was Kilmarnock coming down the M9 or something, I'm sure.
Perth. Them
name. But
by Glen Eagles on your right hand side.
Paradise.
I know them all. But I've got to say, you listen to Brendan Rodgers after it. You're disappointing if you're a Celtic fan because you're at home, you're against Hibs, you're thinking that you're going to win every game. It just sometimes it doesn't happen for you on the day, but you can take the pluses, another clean sheet, plenty of chances, none another day, probably scored a few goals, but they're up against it next Sunday, let me tell you now. Best team in Scotland are going to Celtic.
One of the best teams in Europe.
Yep.
Apparently, by the sounds of it. Anyway, Nathan, thank you very much. It was great to have you on. Pass on our regards to the family, the wife, the four kids, the grandkids. It was great to have you. That was Nathan. 19-year-old Nathan from Denny.
Brilliant.
Outrageous.
He's definitely.
What are feeding them in Denny?
that's not having that.
What a gosh.
It's remarkable, honestly.
He's unlucky, though. Would you have lost that?
No, I would have 3-2. Negrin, I did not get.
We had that question before.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, but it could have changed since then, though.
Are you just getting questions that's repeated?
I got it wrong.
It could have changed. John's
been lazy.
The Angus one was easy. That's 4-4. I would have went 4-4 in that. I must admit, Shanklin one I did get wrong as well. So 3-2, I would have won.
Still. Honestly, I'm currently Googling things that happened in February 2006.
He's looking at Nathan.
Nathan wasn't born, let me tell you.
Scandalous.
Nathan celebrated his 40th birthday.
Absolutely outrageous. Imagine Hugh Keevenson had played Nathan.
Oh.
Generation gap that would have been.
Good football knowledge from Nathan, though. That's enjoyed this call.
Yeah, really good. Right, Charlie's on the other line. Take it away, Charlie. Hello, Charlie.
Hi,
you got you. Yes, all good.
So I was listening to a conversation earlier on, and I think the panel were kind of unanimously agreed that Celtic would win the league. But I'm not sure if it's as simple as that. So, kind of put it a simplistic way, it's whatever team fixes their problem first between Hearts and Celtic. So Hearts have got nearly twice the amount of goals as Celtic. Now, this is the worrying sign. I think Hearts were too easily dismissed in the first half of the show here, whether or not they would win the league. They've scored nearly twice the amount of goals as Celtic. Problem is, their back door's wide open and all. They're letting in a goal a game. To me, it's that Celtic can't score. Celtic are really struggling for scoring. Hibs game is Saturday there. And Paul's talking about match fitness. That in the HO, he was getting into position, but he was missing the shots. So a simplistic way of looking at it is whoever fixes a problem first. If Hearts fix their defence before Celtic fix their attack, Hearts could be running away. Hearts could be away with the league in the next 4 weeks, or certainly even before a shutdown.
What do you make of Charlie's theory, guys?
Yeah, I know what Charlie's saying. I agree with him because the stats are there, but I think over a term of a full season, I think, put it this way, if you ask me right now what squad would I rather have to go on with the season, I'd take Celtics all day long. And I'm sure, no disrespect, I think Derek McInnes would probably look at Celtic squad and think, I would like that one. Look, I'm delighted for Hearts, and I want more clubs to be up there. I want clubs challenging. I want Hibs to have a good season. St Mirren, Motherwell, leaving Livingston. I just want a competitive
league. What do you mean, even Livingston?
Yeah, well, I'd be nice to you.
But oh, cheers,
see, you could finish seventh, I'd be so happy for you. Right, but I just want a competitive league. I think for years and years it's the same old, and Celtic have dominated a league campaign, and it's refreshing to see a team coming in and saying, do you know what, we're going to have a go. But we heard Cal McGregor tonight, an experienced pro that's been through it for years and years. It's six games in, long way to go. Let's see what happens.
And that's why, look, Charlie's stat is accurate, so I couldn't disprove it. But the thing about the goals, that still is quite possible, because it's six games. You know, it's a stat that could shift very dramatically. So Hearts beat Falkirk 3-0.
Yeah.
So I know it's not the next fixture, but if Falkirk at Celtic Park was Celtic's next fixture, and they go and win it 4-0, and Hearts are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's volatile, is what I'm trying to say at the moment. What about the kind of squad thing? Because it doesn't always have to come down to that, but people naturally will do it. As good as Hearts are, as exciting as they are, to be a real title rival to Celtic, do you need to be in a situation where you say five of those Hearts players would get in the Celtic team?
Yeah, I think, but it can't just be based on ability as well. I think that the whole pressure around, you know, what happens when you get into the latter part of the season. Celtic players have been there through it before, is what we're saying there. Callum McGregor speaking today. And I agree with Charlie, like, in terms of the Hearts squad, it is a really, really good squad, Charlie. I just think the pressure that then comes on these players when at this moment in time they're going into games and they're winning and they're staying top of the league, and it's like, oh, this is brilliant. But you start to get to, you know, January, February, and you're in this position, you know, March, and you start to think, actually, we can actually win this league. Then all of a sudden the pressure changes from, you know, what's being portrayed from the fans to the players, because the fans are like, we can actually do this. And, you know, we get 10 minutes, 15 minutes into a game, and like, come on, boys, like, get yourselves going. But also players on the pitch, the pressure, you know, starts to crank up as well. So Celtic players have been there, that they've done it, that they've won league titles before. I'd love to see Hearts, I know it's strange saying as a Hibs man, I'd love to see somebody else win, you know, outside of Celtic and Rangers. I just don't think that, you know, as good as Hearts' squad is at this moment in time, I can't see it happening this season.
Because we at least now have one very high profile example, and it'll be held up forever with it being Leicester, and it just becomes this. So what that does do is not only shows that it's possible, it does disprove what I just put to Marvin, because I'm sure man by man, you know, Man City's squad or whoever it was at the time, you would say, you know, Leicester. So I totally accept that it doesn't have to be that simple, but that is an outlier for a reason, that, you know, that success. So are there Hearts players currently that would get in the Celtic starting 11?
And for them? Oh, yeah, Shanklin.
Yeah.
Because I said
over Iheanacho.
Yeah, 7 goals in 10 games and a couple of assists. And I think he will go on to bang a lot of goals this season, because I think Derek's brought the right players in round about him. Listen, I love the way Hearts have gone about their business, but remember about 4 weeks ago, Tynecastle was emptying. Motherwell were beating them 3-0 and playing them off the pitch. They went to Livingston the following week, and Livingston should have scored in the last kick of the ball to make it 2-8. It was a sitter.
Yeah.
So it shows you how quickly it can change. Okay, you can say, well, Hearts are getting better week in, week out. The players are getting to know each other. I'm the same as Marv. I like competition in our league. I think it's healthy. I think it's refreshing. I want more teams up there putting pressure on Celtic and Rangers. Rangers just now, when was the last time you ever seen Rangers having a start of season like this? When was the last time you seen them sitting down in 11th? They're now trying to chase people up. The manager's saying, we're not chasing Hearts and Celtic now. We're chasing the other five teams in front of us, first and foremost, before we even see them. So I think that's good for the league. But obviously, when it's Celtic and Rangers, you tend to dominate. But I still think, like everybody's saying, six games, don't let's get carried away with this. It's brilliant. And I'm looking forward. There's one of the best games at the weekend for me, Hearts and Hibs. What a game that'll be. Looking forward to that as well.
Thank you very much to Charlie, a Celtic fan who thinks Hearts could be the real deal and is taking them seriously. So thanks again, 01419511025. What about that Scotland squad? Who should have been in that isn't? Who shouldn't be in that is? And we can hear from Max Ahrens as well. If you Rangers fans want to jump on, this would be just a continuation, I think, of all season long, trying to assess how you're feeling about the way things are. So get in touch, we'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025 if you want to get in touch, and please do. You can, of course, tweet us as well at Clyde SS. Be a truly baffling discussion going on in the studio where Gordon DL, I wasn't looking at him at the time, and he turned to Marvin Bartley and he said, oh Marvin, I've always been amazed at people that can do that. And I thought, oh god, this must be something special. So I turned round to see Gordon saying, how can you type out a text using your thumbs?
Two at the one time.
Which makes me think, how do you do it? Because that's how I do it.
I'm a one finger man.
You're a one.
Yeah.
I'm a one finger man.
So you just bash it with one finger.
Yeah.
That's a powerful finger.
That does not get the same results.
Of course it did.
You must be slower.
Oh, be a wee bit slower.
A wee bit.
But I can't.
Fall asleep, so, man.
So I can't do the two thumbies.
So not only is it not your preferred mode of typing, you physically cannot type out a message with your two thumbs.
No.
What?
No. It would be the worst message you ever seen in your life. You could not understand it.
Right, is there a generational thing here? Do you think it's because he wasn't brought up playing computer games or something?
Yeah. Because that's the.
Oh, do you think that's what the.
Yeah. Like, there must be something, because it's baffling that you would.
Because that's analog, isn't it?
Maybe. what finger do you use in your TV remote? Tell me it's not. Tell me it's not your index finger on that.
What do you mean?
Do you use your thumb on the TV remote?
No, I do.
No chance.
No.
Yeah, I just point it.
Nah, I refuse to believe that.
What?
No, wait.
Well, I don't do two thumbs to it. I do.
You use your index finger on the TV remote.
I point the thing, mate, and then I just...
Nah, no chance.
Why not? Long fingers get to number one if I'm at the bottom.
I'm not having that.
So anybody who's received a text from me, I'd like to apologise.
When you're trying to turn on the fire stick, you...
Yeah.
I thought you didn't have one.
The remote control.
Right. Just checking.
Wow. One of my mates has messaged me as well and said that Ross County apparently is in Angus.
Is it in Angus? No.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Who texts you?
Well, first we'll see if it's right or not.
Well, get out them. Let's get a go
on. We'll see if it's right first. If it's right, then we're not outing them. If it's wrong, we're out them.
Can he be in Angus?
I mean, I wouldn't have thought
there's
so.
There's not a chance Ross County's in Angus. There might be an Angus in Ross County.
That confuses me greatly. But listen, every day's a school day.
Have we got a teaser?
Yes, we do. We're about to go to the phones as well. I feel for you in this, Marvin, actually. We spent the last bit of the show talking about your time frame. Yeah, before that, you're in real bother. Is all on you, this teaser.
That's not a good thing.
Producers have not looked after you, digging this one out. Josh in Cardiff sends it in, though, which we're much appreciated to Josh. Can you name the seven top scorers from the SPL era? So Lauren Shanklin just became the SPFL top scorer.
Chris Boyd.
But the SPL era was 1998 to 2013. So we're looking for the seven top scorers from the SPL era who didn't play for Celtic or Rangers at any point.
Oh, thank you very much.
So see Henrik Larsson and Chris Boyd.
Well, I'd know that, right? I've scrubbed all them out.
Really
right,
tricky, okay. And Marv's going to be of no help.
Ah, but could Boyd not have done it at Kilmarnock?
But you, again, you don't listen to what I say. Who didn't play for Celtic or Rangers at any point in their career?
Oh, did you see?
Just said
point?
That.
Right, okay.
I think I actually know one.
Go for it.
Go. Higden.
Yes, that's well done. Motherwell, St Mirren, and Falkirk.
Oh, your man, Sutton?
John Sutton?
Yeah.
Yes, Hearts, Motherwell, St Mirren, Dundee, amongst these clubs.
Right, okay.
The better of the Sutton brothers, obviously.
Yeah. Louis Moulton.
Nah, he's too late. He's.
What was he? Was he a bit old?
Yeah, he's after that.
See, I want to get Ranger Seller in my head. I just keep popping in.
Oh, what was his name?
I would help.
Who are you thinking? Come on, think out loud.
Hearts.
Played for Hearts.
Rudy Scatchell?
Yeah.
No.
That's what I was thinking of. I seen one I had for you.
What about Hibs? You must know the old Hibs players. There must be one in there, then, up. No. SPL. Jason Cummings wasn't one.
Nope, before that.
Yeah.
He's not a million miles off, the Dazzler, believe it or not. Okay, listen. Get back
Derek
to
me. Derek Ryden.
The other one.
O'Connor.
Yes.
O'Connor.
Gary O'Connor. Right, leave it there because you do have three of the.
Was Fletcher one?
I'm not accepting any more Fletcher? Answers currently. No. Which serves
keep
you
saying
right.
That he might.
He might appear. Announced his retirement last night, incidentally, yeah, Stephen Fletcher. Oh, great career, right?
Brilliant career.
Varied in some of the big moves he got and still going strong last year and all the rest of it.
Was it Wrexham last year? Yeah, scored some big goals.
Congratulations on an excellent career. If he's listening, George is on the line. How are you, George?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
All good here, George. Thank you for getting in touch. What are you thinking? What have you got for us?
Yeah, so it was the other day there against Livingston, Rangers v Livingston. It was, so the first half, when Livingston had about two chances, but and obviously after that Rangers scored, but before Rangers scored, Rangers were absolutely terrible. So their tactics all wrong. Every time they're attacking, they kept going back, and then the first half, after Tav scored, they were playing all right. We got a penalty, Tav missed. It was unlucky. They came out in the second half, and in the second half, they were absolutely terrible until about the 90th minute. Because when Livingston equalised, obviously, you know, the Rangers fan song about Russell Martin, you know.
Don't repeat it.
No, I wouldn't. The whole stadium singing that, obviously, except for Livingston fans, whole stadium. And Martin needs to change his tactics. Otherwise, I'm going to worry in Europe. We're all going to worry in the league, because who knows what's going to happen next.
Well, Marvin, you were on the receiving end of that late goal. Sorry to remind you. What did you think of the game overall then, and some of the points George makes?
Yeah, listen, George makes some valid points. I think, you know, we probably started the game better than Rangers did. I think we were good at the start, and, you know, they kind of changed, I don't want to bore people with tactics, but they kind of changed the way that they built up the game.
That's
so
that's your insight is here for. He's here to talk about his thumb. You're here to talk about tactics of the game.
So basically, James Tavernier's position changed after, you know, about 10 or 15 minutes, because they were building up with a back four. Then all of a sudden they started building up with a back three, and James Tavernier went into a midfield position. His goal actually comes from him going in and being a six and then running forward into a forward area, and then he scores a goal for them. And then in the second half, I think we got to grips with that. You know, he spoke about it at half-time. We got to grips with it in terms of trying to press them, and I think we were the better team for, you know, majority of the second half without really, you know, going at Rangers, without really testing Butland on too many occasions. But, you know, within that, you know, as George said there, Tavernier misses a penalty. Miofsky runs through and you know, misses a chance which you expect a player of his quality to score. So it could have been very, very different. You know, so we tried to make the game as difficult as we possibly could. And then, like you said at the end there, you know, Max Aarons comes up and he scores right at the end to give Rangers the victory. So, yeah, in terms of the game, I thought we deserved a point out of it. Did we run our luck at times? 100%. Like I said, with the penalty being missed and Miofsky missing his chance. But, you know, you need these things to go your way when you're playing against Rangers. And unfortunately for us, we just couldn't hold on until the end.
I agree. I sat and I watched the game and I thought that Livingston started the better. All credit to Rangers. I thought for at least 25 minutes of the first half, they were dominant at times, and I think Marv touched on it. I think if Miovski puts that away, Tavernier penalty, all of a sudden it's a different story. But in the second half, I thought Livingston, because they went in at 1-0 after missing that penalty, they come out, they had a spring in their step, they changed one or two wee things, they were right at Rangers. They unsettled Rangers. Rangers couldn't really handle it, got the goal back into it. And it's a sore one for Livingston to lose, but it's one that Russell Martin certainly needed, and it still didn't do anything for the way the fans think about him. So I'm a bit concerned about Rangers just now. I look at their squad, I look at their players, and I look at just the way they're set up. And if they need to go in that unbeaten run, I just don't know where it's going to come from, Gordon. They're not filling me with any confidence just now.
George, it's strange that after that winner, the theme of the week is still about the sort of, you know, the chanting, because of the seemingly contradictory nature of it compared to what we're used to, where a goal goes in, it's a happy moment, but the manager still gets some stick. What do you make of that, looking back on it now?
Yeah, well, obviously, when we scored last minute, as you said to yourself, we were singing the song again, and I think they're afraid to sing that, because even if you do win, the team is still absolutely terrible, and I really worry for Europe on Thursday. So do.
Again, who knows? Like, Sturm Graz are not. Yeah. On one hand, every game in Europe's tough in a way, so I get that's true as well. But if Rangers are now fearing Sturm Graz, maybe they are in a bit of a sticky spot. Just to go back to Marvin, because you mentioned it right at the top, so maybe people aren't still with us, or maybe people have joined in during the show. You know, George was saying that he still thinks the kind of sentiment behind the chanting was right, because it's not going to get better. You ever seen anything like that in your time in football?
No, I've never experienced anything like that before. Like I said, that early in the game, when it's, you know, so many of the supporters, as George is saying, it's not like it was, you know, a small pocket of them. It was, I would probably say 90-95% of the Rangers fans that were in the stadium that were singing it. At the start of the game, and then you also get it, you know, after they score the winning goal as well. So, as I said, you know, earlier on in the show, for people who weren't listening at that point, it was uneasy. It was hard to sit on a bench and hear that sung about, you know, a man who's out there attempting to do his job. And that's not me telling Rangers fans what to do. You know, they've got every right. They pay their money, as we always say, and they can make their feelings known, which they are doing. Just from on a humane level, it was difficult for him. And listen, like I said, he's going to have thick skin to get through that, because it doesn't seem like it's going to stop anytime soon. Obviously, the more games he wins, the less people that will be chanting that song. But yeah, I mean, hearing that at Ibrox, when there's a full Ibrox, must be extremely difficult for him to deal with.
Yeah, it's not nice. As I said many times in this show, at lower level, I've been standing there, and it's the worst feeling in the world. It doesn't matter what Russell Martin says, he will certainly be feeling that. He's seen by his reaction, the minute the game's finished, he's right up the tunnel. Look, he's got a lot of work to do if he's going to turn any Rangers fans around. Just now, I think it's that far gone. I've never seen a reception for a manager like this in all the time I've been in football. You score a late winner, and a winner that you certainly needed, especially in your league campaign, and the players are celebrating, and as Andy Halliday touched on, 27 seconds later, they've turned straight to the manager as well. It's not good, and I think there's a lot of difficult games still to come up for Russell Martin.
Thank you very much to George. It's 0141 951 1025. Steve Clark named his latest Scotland squad today. What do you like about it? Possibly a more popular question, as is always the case. What do you not like about it? We'll take your thoughts next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley have reached the final part of tonight's show. Still time to squeeze some calls in. We'll look at the Scotland squad that has been announced. We'll round off the teaser. We've got football of varying descriptions tonight. Most notably for us in this part of the world, it's Queen's Park 0, Partick Thistle 1 after about 12 minutes or so. But Tony Watt opened the scoring after 7 minutes, picking up where he left off at the weekend. And our old pal absolutely flying so far. Long way to go tonight, of course. And Jim Duffy is in the other dugout. We wish him well, but it's going really, well for Mark at the moment.
Absolutely brilliant. And that's been a real good signing, Tony Watt. He's starting to get the goals. Great experience. He'll do very well in the Championship. But yeah, I think he could go into second tonight. There'll be no living with him at his wedding, but hopefully that he can keep that. But as you say, Jim Duffy's in another dugout, so we wish him all the best as well.
I don't know. You scared of big Jim, man? Oh, Jim, hope you do well.
I'm just sitting
you like should that. Be scared of him as well. You think
I'd hardly ever see him now.
You think you're the alpha in this team? You're not. Jim Duffy would chew you up and spit you out.
By the way, at least you've got something to lose. Jim's nothing to lose.
This is a sort of what you could have won type night for Celtic and Rangers, if you like, because Kairat Almaty, remember them, they had their Champions League game against Real Madrid this evening and lost 5-0 at home. And as for Bruges, they did go one up away to Atalanta, but Atalanta beat them 2-1 in the end, just in case you care. I don't know if you both sets of fans are wanting rid of memories of those teams, but... there we have it. Still time to get in touch, whether that's on the phone or send us a message. In fact, Roddy got in touch. He wanted a shout out for his pals over in Toronto, a team of Scottish and Irish lads at Toronto Celtic, who won the league on the final day of the season last night. I think they've been celebrating hard as well. So pass on the congratulations.
Favourite city in the world?
That's interesting. Why is that?
Probably it was my first ever tour with Rangers, and I just sort of fell in love with the place. They fell in love with me.
Of course, this is where you coached a young Alistair Johnson.
Yeah, but that was years later.
Of course.
I went over with Rangers for the pre-season tour, and I just thought, it's a fantastic city to be.
And therefore, brother stag do, actually.
For the weekend.
It's quite an adventurous stag do.
I arranged it.
Toronto?
Yep, 4 days in Toronto.
That's quite...
4 days?
Quite cultured. It
takes brilliant. You 4 days to get there, mate.
That doesn't, mate. It's very cold.
Yeah. Some car, what is that, the Libby Lyons team bus?
To be fair, I went to Vegas for mine for 4 days.
See, there you go.
I don't know why I was scoffing at you. I'd
refuse point blank to even contemplate that.
Okay, well, you weren't invited anyway, so don't worry about that. Let's bring in Thomas, because the Scotland squad was announced today, which generally leads to a level of debate one way or the other. What jumped out for you, Thomas?
Evening, Gordon, Marvin, how are we?
Good, thank you, all good.
Right, so what jumped out at me for the Scotland squad, I want to preface my point with, obviously, I do understand that obviously this campaign is slightly different with the short turnaround between windows, so I'm not expecting a great amount of change, but there's one player who I think should really be in the squad, and who I'm surprised that I've not seen really anybody else even suggest that, oh, he's missing out, and be disappointed about that, and that player is Tommy Conway of Middlesbrough. Now, I have to say, I don't personally watch a lot of English football, right? But what I do is, I play a sport called power chair football. Gordon, you'll be aware of it. Gordon Duncan, you've done a feature previously.
That's right, I remember that.
On it.
Yep.
I was actually there, I was part of that. So I play power chair football, and I play for Middlesbrough Power Chair Football Club, and a lot of the guys that I play alongside, a lot of my teammates, are fans of Middlesbrough, and they often talk to me about Tommy Conway and about how well he's doing for them, and how obviously they're doing very well at the moment. I believe they're top, or up towards the top at least, of the English Championship. So based on what I'm hearing from them, and you know what I'm seeing in terms of the tables and stuff, I'm surprised that he's not. I know Steve Clarke always says he considers a lot of players, but I'm surprised that Tommy Conway isn't further involved in the conversation, and I just wanted to get your opinion on that. And then I also have another follow-up question that I'd like to quickly put to the panel.
It's a good
as well.
One.
Yeah, he's been about the squad, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. I forgot all about him. Yes, Middlesbrough are doing very well in the Championship. I was sort of harping on tonight at the start of the programme about Lauren Shanklin, finding that form, finding the goals again, why he's not included. But I'm sure Steve Clarke will be sitting thinking, there's only so many strikers I can add to the squad. He keeps the same sort of blend of strikers together and gives them an opportunity. Everybody was screaming for Bowie at Hibs. He's in the squad. So you've got to be fair to Steve Clarke. He's probably looked at the way Conway is. He's looked at Lawrence Shanklin, and he just thinks right now it's not the squad for the next two games for him.
I think Conway's playing in a slightly different role for Middlesbrough. Definitely in the game that I watched, I think he might be playing behind the main striker. They've almost got two support players. But yeah, like you said, he's been in and around the squad before. Someone who offers really great pace. He's very, very different to you know, what Scotland have got at the top end at this moment in time. But I agree with Gordon. There's no doubt that he'd have been considered, and he can only go with so many centre forwards, and you know he's picked the ones he has over him. But Conway will have a future with Scotland, no doubt.
Okay, I think, to be fair to Thomas, he's put it across in the perfect way, because this is different. I know the way the it works when the squad comes out. Like I said earlier, it's almost just a bit of fun. Mm-hmm. You look at the guys that you don't like and you moan that they're in it. You think about the guys that you do quite like and you ask why they're absent. Mm-hmm. 22 days ago was when we played Belarus. It's 22 days. Wow. So the squad was... And forget accusing Steve Clarke of too loyalty. Mm-hmm. No country is ripping up a squad or bringing in loads of new players 22 days on from a camp, which, by the way, was successful.
Brilliant, yeah.
No, you could say if Scotland had lost two of those games, mm-hmm. maybe you say things need to be changed. But it was a successful camp, 4 days, 4 points, sorry, and just for dramatic effect, one more repetition on it, 22 days ago.
Yeah.
So it was always quite likely that it stayed there or thereabouts. I was looking at the goals tally of our strikers this season. I've done league only, just to make, because obviously Shanklin got a few in the League Cup. Not to take away from them, but other strikers might not have the group stages. Conway's got two, George Hurst has got three, Lyndon Dykes has got two, Oliver Burke's got three, that hat-trick, Shanklin's got four, Kieran Bowie's got four. It's hard to think anything other, Gordon, than this just being a result of it being 3 weeks ago that we played.
Yeah, I think it is the timing. I think if it was the usual, maybe it's another couple of months down the line, it may be a different looking squad with one or two coming in and out. Obviously Tierney and that comes back. The big call for me, and I know it's third choice goalkeeper, we all believe that's
potentially
the case. Yeah, it's got to be Craig Gordon.
He's not played at all.
It's 5 months, is it? Is it 5 months or something? He's not. He's
and that's
not
an play. Experience thing, though. If you've got a third choice, it's not going to play. If he's going
to
be,
it has to
choice.
Be that, doesn't it?
Yeah, you just bring him in around it.
He may like him round about the goalkeeper, the other goalkeepers as well. Mm. He likes him with the experience round about the dressing room. He's been there
because Angus Gunn will play. Won't play, he? So therefore,
and Liam Kelly's there for backup. So
tell you what, though, it's hard. A tough school goalkeeping, isn't it? How quickly Xander Clarke was Hearts number one, and in the Scotland squad, and after the transfer window, he's now not playing at Hearts, and he's the one that's missed out of the Scotland squad.
Yeah, you're right. It's a hard position. But look, Steve Clarke's obviously got his own reasons. We've got to believe in that. I think we're off to a good start. Campaign, double header at home. Got to be difficult, first one, obviously. But the way we're playing, the squad that we've got and the players that we've got, and if Steve Clarke can just get the best out of them that night.
Would you have made a space for Shankland?
Yes.
Would you have dropped Hurst? Or?
Probably went, yeah. Because I don't see Hurst playing a lot of the football. I just think that if we need that sort of a goal in the way Shanklin is just now, coming off that bench and giving us that, just that sharpness in the box. And I think he's back to his best, Gordon. And the one thing about him is he knows where the back end is. Let's not be kidded here. I know he had a real poor season last year, but I think there was a lot of situations helped that poor season with the fact that he was played in a deeper role. I don't think Hearts had the right players round about him. Derek's found that formula for him, and he's getting goals.
What else are you thinking, Thomas? We're running out of time, but I'm sure we can squeeze it in. On you go.
Quick, it's something you've actually touched on there in the conversation. Mm-hmm. My follow-up question was going to be, we're in a situation with the goalkeepers where our three goalkeepers we've got is Angus Gunn, who's third choice at Nottingham Forest. We've got Craig Gordon, who's 42-year-old and hasn't played all season. We have also
Liam Kelly,
who's back up at Rangers. Sorry, I forgot about Liam Kelly for a second there, but, you know, easily done, he doesn't play. That's my overall point, is, and those are the three best goalkeepers that we've got. You could argue Xander Clarke, but he's not playing now either. So I know it's a big future question beyond the scope of this qualifying campaign, but we're running out of goalkeeper options that actually play football.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to put to the panel, what do we do about it? Because there's going to come a point where we just don't have a goalkeeper that actually plays games, and it becomes an issue. So what do we... I mean, we can't just magic goalkeepers out of thin air.
I mean, it's happening now, isn't it? Yeah, if Angus Gunn was to get injured like he did previously, Liam Kelly would obviously go in, and you would imagine we'd be fine, but it's like... it is. It's an incredible situation now that they find themselves in.
Well, have a look. He named it there. Gunn, third choice, Forrest. Mm-hmm. Liam Kelly, second choice at Rangers. And Craig Gordon, not played in 5 months.
You surprised Scott Benn's not in that?
I was just going to say that. If you were talking, is that another one that maybe, you know, if this is the start of a new campaign or you've mm-hmm. got months to, you know, kind of build up and you're looking for different solutions, you probably could make quite a, you know, so right now, if of what's in front of you, Scott Bain's having a good season.
Yeah, yeah, and that surprises me. I think if you are going to change something, it's probably in an area where, you know, none of the goalkeepers at this moment in time are actually mm-hmm. playing. So I think that'll be the easiest one for Steve Clarke to change. If anything, you've got Robbie McCrory's gone on loan as well, abroad to play. So, yeah, listen, like you said, 22 days ago, he's obviously sticking with the same squad.
Thank you very much. Thomas made some good points there on the phone. That was Thomas and East Kilbride, who round things off. Can you name the seven top scorers from the SPL era, 98 to 2013, who didn't play for Celtic or Rangers at any point? Higdon, John Sutton, Gary O'Connor.
Stephen Fletcher?
Nope.
John Robertson?
Nope.
Hold on.
Shovel?
What about Patelina?
No. Nah.
Lovell?
Yep, Steve Lovell, well done.
Seriously?
Played him at Bournemouth.
Right, three others, quick.
Well, an Aberdeen one.
Yep.
Was that? Right, was he foreign?
No.
Well, that's grubbed him out then.
What about a guy that played for Hibs and Kilmarnock, Dunfermline, Dundee?
Hibs, Kilmarnock.
Dare I say, people probably use his name for rhyming slang, but I wouldn't dream of it. Oh, no, don't answer that, because you're going to give me the wrong one.
I know.
And it's going to get me in a world of trouble.
You have no idea what's going through my head.
I may tell you. And I'm really worried about it.
We've got to get the Super Scoreboard shut down.
The music's too loud.
Give us a
remember
initials.
He was in the 6-6 game, Mobile Hibs. CN. Quick. Colin Nish.
Colin Nish. Yeah. Colin Nish, Kilmarnock, yeah.
Old strike partner of yours is in there.
Brewster?
No.
Crawford?
Yes. Stevie Crawford. And the last one, which you won't get, is Darren Mackey. Well done. Thank you for taking part. Thanks for your calls. We're back at 6 tomorrow.